Public Media News. This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, December 17th. Coming up, the Illinois Farm Bureau is ushering in new leadership. We'll hear more from Philip Nelson, who won the election. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker is warning of new, quote, harassment as Federal Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino returns to Chicago for more immigration enforcement. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Bovino's reemergence comes after a months-long immigration enforcement operation this fall that was marked by agents using aggressive tactics, like car chases and firing chemical weapons into protesters. Pritzker says city and suburban residents now know how to confront their presence.
Frankly, I'm very proud of the way that Illinoisans have reacted to CBP and ICE, and that's in pulling out your whistles and your phones, video everything, post it online.
A state commission Pritzker created has its first town hall this week to hear accounts of abuses by federal agents. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The new president of the Illinois Farm Bureau says one of the reasons he won the election was a pledge to improve communication with other industry groups. Philip Nelson of Seneca says the Farm Bureau had lost some credibility.
Our organization introduced an estate bill for reform, and at the same time, a commodity group introduced one. And I heard it from both sides of the aisle, you know, agriculture's got to get their act together.
Nelson defeated Brian Duncan, who had sought a second term. Nelson says since his election, he has been surprised at the number of federal lawmakers who've reached out to say they want to improve the working relationship. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has enacted a $1.5 billion mass transit bailout that could mean a higher sales tax and tolls for Chicago-area residents. Mawa Iqbal reports.
We are on the verge of delivering a world-class transportation network. This new law not only averts the cliff, but preserves affordability and makes transit safer and more reliable.
The percentage of people killed in motor vehicle crashes involving alcohol has increased statewide since 2019. That's according to a new report on alcohol use in adults and teens by the Illinois Department of Public Health. The report shows that in 2022, 37% of fatal crashes involved alcohol, a jump from 33% in 2019. Leslie Weiss helped write the report for the IDPH.
Anytime that we see an increase in preventable deaths, that is something for us to take into account and be aware of and see if we can help spread the message of these preventable fatalities.
The report also shows that from 2020 to 2023, the state reported more than 2,300 deaths related to issues like liver disease and alcohol dependency syndrome. Still to come, we'll hear from the new president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 39 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, breezy, and mild, with a chance of rain after midnight and a low of 36 degrees, south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy and windy with rain likely in the morning and a high of 50 degrees. Southwest wind, 20 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 40 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and colder with a chance of flurries and a low of 16 degrees. A west wind, 15 to 25 miles per hour. And for Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 30 degrees with a northwest wind, 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, Dick Van Dyke is an actor, singer, and native of Danville, Illinois, and he just celebrated his 100th birthday. We'll talk about his life, career, and legacy with the filmmaker behind a new documentary about Van Dyke, NPR media critic Eric Deggans, and a Danville woman who knows Dick and his wife, Arlene. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The Illinois Farm Bureau is ushering in new leadership, though not inexperienced leadership. Philip Nelson of Seneca won the election, ending Brian Duncan's bid for a second term. The Illinois Farm Bureau has a dispute with the American Farm Bureau Federation, or AFBF, over the Illinois Farm Bureau decision to end a requirement that country financial insurance policyholders be members of the Farm Bureau. The American Farm Bureau objected to the loss of revenue in shared dues and had threatened to expel the Illinois Farm Bureau from the Federation. The Illinois Farm Bureau filed a lawsuit to stop that. In this interview with Charlie Schlenker, Philip Nelson says that's part of why he won.
Our members are concerned. We need to work through that, hopefully find a way forward for everybody, and we need to be at the table on all these important issues, from the Farm Bill, regulatory reform. You don't want to be on the outside looking in. You want to be at the table as part of the discussion. So that certainly, I think, weighed on the minds of a lot of farmers, and I heard that on the campaign trail.
What is the way forward on that litigation?
I think we'll find some of that out this next week, not being involved in it since the case was filed and such. I just think we need to figure out, representing our members and AFBF, having been there before and served on the board for 10 years, I still know a number of the players that are a part of it. Hopefully we can figure that out in the coming days and get this thing behind us.
Do you have any particular proposal to make for them, or do you want to keep the powder dry because it is in litigation?
Well, I think I need to hear their side of it first. I think the first step is sitting down across the table and talking and seeing where we're at, and then we'll go from there.
What other primary focuses or foci do you want to have in your term?
Well, I've got a number of them. I'd like to empower the board of directors more so that they're better engaged on the issues and the decisions that are made. I think we need to restore credibility in both Springfield and Washington, D.C. Third was getting us back at the table with the American Farm Bureau. Fourth, I'd like to energize the young leaders of our organization. You know, they're our present, but they're also our future. And if we're going to restore credibility in this organization, they've got to be a part of it. And last but not least, we've got to have better communications with commodity groups, with our members all the way through the system, so that everybody knows what's going on and they're a part of the process.
How do you think credibility was lost in Washington and Springfield, and how do you propose to bring it back?
Well, we had a little glitch this spring where our organization introduced an estate bill for reform, and at the same time, a commodity group introduced one. And I heard it from both sides of the aisle, you know, agriculture's got to get their act together. I think it's been a little overwhelming, to be truthful, how many legislators have called me in the last 2 days wanting to improve our dialogue, you know, increase our effectiveness in sitting down and working with them. At the national level, that goes hand in hand with AFBF. You need that national umbrella to open up doors, whether it's at EPA or even USDA, to get our points across. Part of that is networking, part of it's relationship, but we're going to get it turned around and hopefully become a more effective organization because of it.
Let's talk a little bit about tariffs. The head of the AFBF, Zippy Duval, has been estimating the nationwide losses on crops this year at about $34, $35 billion. That's a lot more than the $12 billion in rescue money being offered. What are the consequences to that?
One of the situations everybody's dealing with in agriculture right now is the lack of profitability. We've got the same prices, if you adjust to inflation, as we had in 1974, but our input costs have quadrupled in that same time period. So we've got to get trade going. And in the meantime, this $12 billion bailout, whatever you want to call it, I view that as a Band-Aid, and hopefully we're going to get some of these markets turned around from where they are at right now. The tariffs, I don't know if you can blame it on everything. You know, the inputs costs have not come down. If you see what commodity prices have done in the last 3 years going down, there should have been a reset on the input side, and there hasn't been. Probably the only thing that is cheaper today than it was 3 years ago is fuel. The one thing I think we really need to look at, and Congress is starting to, is we need to look at the competitiveness of our inputs. You know, you got four seed companies that control about 80% of the seed market. You got four meat packers that control over 80% of the meat packing capacity. And you got about four fertilizer companies that do about 80% of the business worldwide. You don't have near the competition when you have your industries that you work with get in the hands of three or four firms. So I know Congress is looking at that. I think we need to continue to look at that to have better transparency in those markets so that they work and they don't just get set by the big four, you know, take it or leave it.
That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Charlie Schlenker, Mala Iqbal, and Noah Jennings. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.